this series called Resurrection Rewind, and what we're doing, we're taking some of our sermons that we preached on Easter Sundays in years past and kind of rewind and doing some things about them. But this evening, the disciples, whenever Jesus gave them the message about what was coming down the pike on Passover week, they didn't get it. They didn't understand. It's like, what you said, if you ever asked somebody who made this statement, you said what? You said what? They're going to what? And they didn't understand. Which begs the question, what is it about what we do that God has said something to us about our life, in our life, what he said to us, and it's just kind of like, is there anybody here, am I the only one here that has regrets? Anybody here have regrets? I'm like, people that don't have regrets, I'm like, what world are you living in? The world must revolve around you if you don't have any regrets. Because none of us are perfect. He said we've all sinned. We've all messed up in one way or another. And if we're not careful, we can live in those regrets, or we can rise above those regrets and realize that we can't do anything about the past, but we can do something about the present, and we can sure do something about our future. So the disciples, they didn't understand some things that Jesus told them before they went to God. I've got to have some water. Would somebody do that for me? Thank you, baby.
You
want to keep it? Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm all choked up. I heard a story about there was a college football team, and the first-string quarterback got hurt. The second-string quarterback didn't even dress because he was sick, so all they had left was the third-string quarterback, and he was the punter for their team, but he never practiced being quarterback. He was a quarterback in high school, but he didn't know the plays. So the coach, he's like, just run the ball on the first, the second, the third down, and on the fourth down, punt the ball. He was a punter. And so they're on the 2-yard line. He says, just give the ball to the fullback and let him run, and then just get out of the end zone. And so first play, he hands the ball over to the fullback. He runs out about the 40-yard line, makes a great run. Next run, he runs back over into their 30. The next, on the third down, he runs up to about the 20, then he runs down to the 3-yard line. And he says, the coach told him, he says, on the fourth down punt. So on the 3-yard line, guy hands him the ball, and he punts the ball. And all the players are like, why'd you punt the ball on the 3-yard line? And he walked off, and the coach, he was just living. He said, why did you punt the ball? He said, what were you thinking? He said, I was thinking about what a dumb coach we have. Told me to punt a ball on the fourth down. I didn't tell that story real good, but what I want you to get is that God created you so you could make good choices and you could make decisions for yourself. Too many times we allow other people to speak into our lives about important decisions that we make. And many times the people that we look for people who will agree with us. And if they agree with us, we look for people who will say what we want to hear. Sometimes, now I know I'm preaching to the choir, you probably wouldn't be here tonight if you were like that. But I'm telling you, we all have to be careful about the people that we listen to and we allow to speak into our lives. Because if we're not careful, we will heed, the scripture says, the voice of a stranger. You say, well, I know, no, you may not know your best friend as well as you think you know him. Especially if you're looking to get a divorce. You're going to look for somebody that's going to encourage you to get a divorce. And if you don't, if somebody says you shouldn't get a divorce, and God says you shouldn't get a divorce, a lot of times you run over to people that say you should get a divorce. So we have to be careful about who we get our counsel from. It's very important. And when Jesus speaks, and he speaks through his word, when you read the word of God, you keep his word close to you, and you read his word, and you have, he says, I think it was David, he said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, it's not just something that we take along with us or put it on the shelf. The word of God needs to be in our heart in order for us to have a heart for God. And so that's why he says, study to show yourself approved unto God. So here's the disciples. They're like, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, verse 31. I think it's a compliment that God lets us make our own decisions. I think it's a trust that God trusts us to make our own decisions. God didn't make you come to church tonight. You came to church tonight because you wanted to, unless you're as you under your parents' supervision and they say you have to. But he lets us make our decisions. And call our own plays. Luke 18, 31. Here's what Jesus said to his disciples. He took them aside and he said this: we are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. Here's a hint about something that was written by the prophets will be fulfilled. Now, if the disciples knew and had read what the prophets have said, they would have known that this was going to happen. But apparently they were a little bit in the dark. Maybe they hadn't studied the word of God. It says, he will be handed over to the Gentiles or the Roman soldiers. They will mock him. They'll insult him. They will spit on him. They will flog him and they will kill him. And on the third day, he will rise again. Seems pretty simple, doesn't it? I get it. He'd mock you. Said they'd spit on him. They'd flog him. And they would kill him. And then on the third day, he would rise again. I mean, it seems pretty simple, doesn't it? When I was raising kids, it seemed kind of like, well, I got this figured out. And then the more time I spent around them, the more I realized, I was like, I don't get this. And I'm like, I need counseling. I need help. And it's interesting the things that I would have done differently now than when I thought when I was younger that the things that I did then, I thought it was the right thing to do, but it wasn't even close to the right thing to do. Y'all looking a little holy on me out there. I've been feeling a little bit. I want to stir up your mind this evening. What is it that God is saying to you that is going over your head? Is there a word? Like, I came to church tonight, and I think that it's important because I think we all, we've worshiped, and we come and we're like, and how many like to just get a word from God? Raise your hand. You're like, I need to get a word from God this evening. See, that's why we come to church. The word is that there is a word. First of all, there is a word, a specific word for you. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
And so, if we all believe that, then we have to position ourselves to where we're willing to not to just hear it, but to understand the word and then to act upon it. It doesn't do any good just to hear it with our ears. It has to sink down into our hearts and then become a part of our character. It becomes the DNA of who we are. Because I don't know about you, but the world that I live in is messed up. Someone wrote a little deal about the dumb things we've done. It says, my parents, they probably wondered why I didn't learn from their mistakes. And then, like, I'm wondering why my kids didn't learn from their mistakes. And my kids will probably wonder why their kids don't learn from their mistakes. Because we all make mistakes along the way. Bill Cosby, I mean, he's got some issues. I wasn't going to say his name. I forgot. This was back before all the revelation came, so I'm going to skip this part. I already ruined it for you. I'm going to say it my way. Someone said this. Said that Adam and Eve wasn't the first parents, but that God was the first parent. And so we think about it, and God's talking to Adam and Eve. And first of all, he talked to Adam. You remember that. He talked to Adam, and he said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then the next thing in chapter 2, we see Eve talking to Satan about the tree, and she says that we're not supposed to touch it, and she didn't. The message got convoluted, and then, like anybody else, I believe that Adam and Eve probably said, "You know, God, that tree that you told us not to eat of. Where is that tree?" And then we all know the story how that they partook of the tree, but it wasn't until then that children, did you know that children came after the curse and we're all children as a part of the curse? And so we all live in a fallen world. And the fallen world we live in, if we're not careful, we will put ourselves on trips that we don't need to go on because of the fallen world. We'll come and we'll live in a world that is cursed, but Bible says be in the world, but not a part of the world. And when we're a part of the world, then we become a part of the curse, and our life is cursed if we don't rise above the curse of Adam and Eve and say that we are not cursed, we are conquerors through Christ who gave himself for us. Because of the resurrection of Christ, we have the power to overcome issues in our lives. We are in the world, and we're in a fallen world, and things affect us because of the world we live in, but we can rise above anything and everything, because every situation, God will take even the bad things and make good things come out of it. So we've got to change the way we think when it comes to who we are. Because the devil would like to beat you up. He'd like to beat you up and tell you, you are not worth anything. You're just not good enough. Because we all have sinned. You can trickle on down through there. I said, we all have sinned. But we don't beat ourselves up because we sin. We run to the one who redeems us from the sin. Instead of running away from him, we run to him and say, God, please forgive me. I was wrong. I'm sorry. And then God receives us back into his arms because what sin does, it separates us from God. And if we're not careful, the guilt and the shame of sin and the separation from God will rob us of his presence because of the decisions and the choices to punt on the 3-yard line. See, everybody thinks, well, that was stupid putting on the three alarm. My name's Randy Weaver, and I've done stupid things too. We've all done stupid things. But the truth is that Jesus, here it is. Here it is. He said, they will. It says in verse 34, it says, the disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. These are guys that had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had lived with him, stayed in the same places day and night with him, and they didn't understand. It wasn't like he just, listen, it wasn't like he just told it to them one time. He told it to them in Matthew chapter 16, then he told it to them in Matthew 17, then he told it to them in Matthew chapter 20, and he just got, and they're like, what? You said what? Because we don't want to believe. Many times when the truth comes our way, it will mess with your lifestyle. You ain't buying what I'm selling. When the truth comes, a lot of times it will mess, because the disciples had a good thing going. They had food. Yeah, it was kind of tough, but they had food. They were with the miracle worker. There was a lot of really sweet things happening. And because they didn't want this to end, they wanted to go up on a mountain and build a monument for Elijah. And they had all kinds of ideas because they had their will, and then Jesus had his will. And then when Jesus comes, like, well, they're gonna mock me and spit on me, and they're gonna nail me to the cross, and then they're gonna bury me, and then I'm gonna be raised again 3 days. This didn't fit into their plan. So I got a question for you. What is it that God may be asking you to do that doesn't fit into your plan? Because this is just so interesting. This is a sermon where I want your thinking to be enlarged and for the flesh side of us to die. And so the disciples, they didn't want that, and so they were unwilling to hear it. And what is it in our lives that we're not willing to hear, because it's going to mess with your lifestyle and it's going to mess with the plans that you have for yourself instead of the plans that God has for you? Now, I want to say this, and I thought about this earlier this evening, and I think this is for this group here this evening, those watching online. Not only does God's word, it not only is it about things that we have allowed into our lives that God calls sin, but it's also a word that God has given us about the life that he has for us. Many times we won't walk into a realm of success that God has for us because we don't believe we're good enough. I'm going to tell you, there's people right here tonight. You don't believe you're worthy. You have believed the lie of shame that the enemy has brought to you about your past. You believe the lie of guilt, and you walk in guilt. Your guilt button is so shallow that when God wants to bring success to you, you say, I'm not good enough. The message that God wants to give to you tonight is that he does want you to be successful in any and every way that you could possibly be successful. A according to his plan. Now, you may have to redefine success. Your definition of success might not be the same as God's. And it's important that we use the same definition of success to God. He says, I would that you prosper and be in good health, but he says, I would that you would prosper even as your soul prospers. In other words, the prosperity of the soul. Everybody wants money. But really the most powerful and the most effective thing that the resurrection brought was the prosperity of the soul. That you can walk in confidence, you can walk in faith, you can walk knowing that God is with you, that your body is a temple. And he said he would never leave you, never forsake you, that he will bring the very scripture that Jason read this morning. He will, Holy Spirit, he said he would teach you all things, and then he would bring to remembrance those things that he taught you, that you can overcome your past and you can be successful with the good things and the good word that God puts in you. You can run through a troop and you can jump over a wall just because God believes in you. I think somebody needs to hear this evening, God believes in you. It doesn't matter how old you are. Listen, I believe I'm like kind of old. Saturday, I try to get, like, hair grows everywhere on me these days. So on my ears and everything. And Saturday, I got to trimming my eyebrows, and I forgot that trimmer goes all the way to the bottom, and I thought it was sticking out, and I shaved both of my eyebrows off. So don't look at me. Don't judge me. Jesus still loves me with or without my eyebrows. I know, it looks ugly, doesn't it? Sometimes you just do stupid things. It doesn't affect how God sees me. I think there's too many people that beat themselves up. Maybe for the way they look. Maybe for the age that they are. Maybe they're too young, or maybe they're too old, or maybe they're too middle-aged. Maybe they're too busy. You see what I'm saying? Let God show you his plan for you, because you are the best you. Be the best you that you can be. Don't try to be somebody else. We live in a world, I just feel like preaching this tonight, not in my sermon at all, but I think we look at too many people, and we look at TV, and all the girls say, well, we need to look like that to be popular, and the guys say, well, we've got to do this in order to have this job, make this money, and do this. Listen, God wants you just to be the you that he created you to be, not the you somebody else is. Stop being like somebody else, and you start being you. I'm telling you, we beat ourselves up. I do it myself, and I'm preaching to me a little bit because I need it too. I don't even know where I'm at. This song we sang earlier, it says, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Did y'all catch that when we sang, I surrender all? It's not like God doesn't want you to have pleasure in life. He doesn't want you to have worldly pleasures. You see the difference? The difference is that the things that he has for you are the best things for you. And the things that are the worldly pleasures, those are the things that will separate you from him and ultimately bring death to your life. I don't even know what time it is. My clock up there is not working. Is it late? So, yeah, if you got to go, it's okay. But I'm going to wrap it up. we're too critical in the Christian world. Listen, we're too critical of people who aren't Christians. I just got to say this, and then I'm gonna wrap it up. We're critical of people who don't have of people who don't like. If we got a sin problem, we're not gonna be critical of people with the same sin problem. We're gonna look for somebody who has a different sin problem to be critical of. Amen. Does that make sense to you? Okay. For instance. Not a lot of people are tempted to be homosexuals. Homosexuality is a sin according to the Word of God. But God loves homosexuals. So a lot of people are critical of homosexuals because they don't have a sin problem that homosexuals have. You with me? But God has called us to love homosexuals, to love people. We can hate the sin, but we've got to love the sinner. We've got to love people no matter what their issue is, no matter what their problem is. But we as Christians, a lot of times what we want to do, we want to boycott them. I heard people, I'm going to boycott Starbucks because they promote homosexuality. Well, let me tell you something. We're a bunch of hypocrites. You're glad you came to church. Because listen, we'll boycott something that we have a problem with, but like, if you're going to go to boycotting things that God calls sin, you could probably just drive down 105 and you better not stop anywhere. Because Valero sells alcohol and that makes drunkards. You can't stop at Pizza Shack. They sell liquor. You can't stop and eat nowhere. You can't stop and eat either because gluttons go in there, and gluttony's a sin. So don't be stopping in there and going down to McDonald's. Everybody knows you're going to overeat down there. Bunch of boycott them. Listen, where do we draw the line? Listen, Jesus went and ate with sinners. And the reason he did it, not so he could sin with them, but because he loved them enough to bring the light to them and to bring himself, the word, to them because he loved them. It wasn't that he wanted to go sin with them. Amen. I get amused at people. Sometimes they say, well, I feel like I want to have a ministry to the bar. Well, the next thing I know, they're not in church. They're ministering to the bar people like all the time. You know, I'm with you. You ever heard about Jesus? You with me? If you can't live for Jesus around the people you're hanging out with, stop hanging around them. It's good preaching tonight. I don't care who's doing it. This will help you somewhere along the line. Open up our eyes. God, open up our eyes. Amazing grace. And the only word for grace is amazing, because we all need grace. Amen. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Josh, sing for us, buddy.
Amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found.
Listen to this part.
I was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone.
Thank you, Lord.
And I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. Oh, like a flood. His mercy, oh, it reigns unending love. Oh, amazing grace, unending love. Amazing grace.
Jesus was walking through the city, and there was a blind man that hollered out to him. And the people around him, his friends, said, you need to be quiet. You need to be quiet. Don't be talking. Just stay back there. He says he talked even louder. And Jesus, he came to Jesus. And Jesus asked a question that was, for me, it was a very interesting question that he asked to the blind man. He said, what do you want? Seemed like we'd all like, well, he said that I might see. He had to ask Jesus for what he wanted. Jesus knew that he was blind, but the man had to ask him for what he wanted. And Jesus asked him, what do you want? In the most humble way I know how, I want to ask you that question this evening. What do you want? What do you want? The resurrection power says greater things than these shall you do. Jesus said, I go to make intercession for you. He said we could do greater things. So what do you want? It's a good question, isn't it? May not be obvious to everybody else. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right now. And I just want to challenge you to ask Jesus, because he's here. What do you want? Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you give us understanding, that you said you would teach us all things and bring them to our remembrance. Minister, oh God, to everybody here this evening. I pray, oh God, that you would make a paradigm shift in our thinking, Lord. Lord, may we see you as an all-powerful God. May we see you as more than enough for any situation that we find ourselves in, whether it's there's illness, whether there's a relationship problem, whether there's marriage, whether there's a financial problem, whether we're just maybe depression, whatever's happening, oh God. And Lord, for those who you spoke your word to, that the word has become dormant in their life, I pray, oh God, that that word would become alive, more alive than ever before, that we would put our faith and our trust and our confidence in the word that you gave to us, and so much so that we would begin to step out and walk in that word that you gave us. I pray, oh God, for freedom this evening, and I pray, oh God, that those chains that have bound us to mediocrity would be broken in Jesus' name. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. This evening, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to know the greatest gift of the resurrection is that he's made eternal life available to those who would ask him. He says if we confess our sin, he would be faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a place of repentance. In other words, make the choice, the right choice now, to receive Christ as your personal Savior. If you've never done that before, maybe if you have, you just haven't been living for him. Simply by raising your hand, say, preacher, I need Jesus in my heart. I need to make him the Lord of my life. Slip your hand up high. Anybody? Preacher, that's me. We want to put a Bible in your hand. Anybody? Anybody. Thank you, Lord. Would you stand with me, please? Let's give Jesus a hand. Thank you, Lord. It's been a good night, and I just, if you have something that you need prayer about or you'd like to have somebody pray with you, we have a prayer team up here. We just encourage you. We believe in prayer. We believe God answers. That's what we're talking about this evening. How many this evening you'll say, Pastor, I feel like I've kind of been in a rut with my walk with Christ. And tonight, I'm making effort to follow Christ more closely so that I can hear His word better than I've ever heard before. And I want to be who He created me to be. And I'm going to act on His word tonight that He gives me. Raise your hand. And say, I'm willing to do and act on the word that He gives me. Yeah. I'm proud of y'all. I know it seems like an obvious question, but we have to be intentional with getting in the Word, becoming a part, like Pastor Chris was talking about, becoming a part of a group of people and rubbing elbows with people that we may not even like that much. Then when you rub shoulders with them, and then you it says, love your enemy. Yeah, anybody can love your neighbor, but sometimes you gotta love your enemy. See, that's a hard part. So, but you won't have to worry about that if you never get around anybody. Just saying. Aren't you glad you come to church tonight? Praise God. Praise God. All right. I want to pray for y'all and I'm going to invite you all to come down and spend some time at the altar. This would be a prime opportunity to ask the Lord for what you want. The Bible says we have not because we see a lot of times pride keeps us from asking. So let's just go ahead and ask. Let me pray for you. Let's raise both hands in complete submission to Him. Oh, we submit to You. We submit to the power of Your word, the power of the resurrection. Lord, because of the resurrection, we can have the power in us. We thank You, Lord, that You are God over death, over hell, over the grave. We thank You, Lord, that You are more than enough for every situation we find ourselves in. Lord, speak Your word to everybody, every individual here, everybody watching online. God, give us Your word and help us to walk in that word and to accept the process of growth that You have planned for us and to submit to Your word and to be faithful to You in our relationships with people, Lord, that need You too. And we thank You for it in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. We love y'all. God bless you.